Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Now, I first want to thank my Heavenly Father for giving me the activities of my limb and also making sure that I woke up on the other side of the dirt. I appreciate that. Now, today is March the 5th. And I am going to be talking about a topic that can be very sensitive in nature. Now, this is not to throw people up under the bus. This is not to critique individuals. It's not to basically bring up a lot of trauma or make it so that you're talking bad about your parents, especially if your parent is no longer alive. I've lost both of my parents. Yeah, my mother, 2008, my father, 2017. But the thing is, when we talk about this topic, we're going to be talking about being raised by a narcissist. Now, when I was raised and growing up back in the 70s, I never heard of the term narcissist. All I would say is my mama was just crazy. Something ain't making no sense. And the behaviors that she exhibited, didn't know where it came from. But like she told me, and judge me. Might as well forgive me for what I did, forgive me for what I'm doing, and forgive me for what I'm going to do. I was like, really? All of that? Hey, LaToya Cousin, I see you watching. So today's topic, when we talk about being raised by a narcissist, individuals don't realize or may not realize that one's childhood can have a huge impact on how they view themselves, how they see the world, how they see and treat other people. And yet, they may not even know that a cousin, you know, I remember my daughter told me a while back, she said, Mom, you don't have daddy issues, you got mommy issues. And I was like, what's that supposed to mean? I didn't realize how a lot of things that I was exposed to, that I've learned growing up, I didn't realize how that weighed so heavily are heavily on some of the decisions and my behaviors as an adult today. So that is some of the things that I am going to be talking about because, you know, we can't choose our parents. We really can't because I'll tell the truth. If I was able to choose mine, I don't know if they would have been my parents. That I learned a lot from them. So what they say, take what you get and don't have a fit. So can't have a fit about it. So today, like I said, it's March the 5th, and we're going to be talking about how parenting is not easy, and it can be challenging for both the child, the parent, as well as the adult child. Because we have individuals now that are adults, and they are still dealing with the personality of their parents. You know, whether, you know, you don't know if the parent got dementia, Alzheimer's, what's going on, and now we want to give everybody their term, narcissist. Are you narcissistic? I've had, as a therapist, I've had people come to me and say, I'm married to a narcissist. I say, okay, what you going to do about it? You know the narcissist when you married them. So how are you going to learn how to function? So when we talk about these challenges and the impact that it can have on the childhood, it can, also have an impact on others. So join myself, talk about being raised by a narcissist. This information is, or this show is designed to provide resource, information, as well as learn how to break the cycle. And I want to hear your thoughts. So if you know someone that is dealing with this, give them a call. Send them a call in if they want to share. Share the link. If you're not able to listen to the show live right now, you can also listen to the show at any time, either this show or any of the other shows that I've done. Now, I'm looking at some information, and it's talking about being raised by narcissists, how it can damage your life and your self-esteem. Now, we talk about that, and as I'm looking at the article, and it talks about in regards to self-trust, self-love, self-knowledge can be taught by parents. And Mr. Ed said, looking forward to hearing this one. Okay, hearing and not calling in, Mr. Ed. Is that a hint yet? Okay, no problem. Now, when we talk about our parents, and I mean, and like I said, this is not to speak ill of anyone, and this is not to throw anybody up under the bus. It's not. Because we talk about narcissistic personality. That is actually a mental disorder in which individuals can have an inflated sense of their own importance, meaning that the parents may put themselves above their children, their needs above their children, the way they treat their children, the way they talk to their children, as well as the way they talk to others. Now, we love throwing labels at individuals, and this is not about throwing labels or throwing diagnosis at individuals, but there's a deep need for the admiration and the lack of empathy for others, meaning they care more about themselves than they may care about their children, their spouse, and that's what makes the relationship so complicated. But behind this mask that the individual may have, it can be an ultra confidence of lies, and it can fragile one's self-esteem that is vulnerable to the slightest criticism. Now, the narcissistic personality disorder can cause problems in many areas of life, such as relationships, school, work, financial affairs. And you may generally be unhappy and disappointed when you're not given or the person's not given their special favors or admiration that they believe they deserve. And that's where it becomes an issue because individuals can start developing codependency issues. They can start trying to overcompensate. They can be trying to make their parents. They can be trying to do all of these different things, but at the end of the day, it can lead to other types of issues that individuals can have or develop. Now, I'm looking at something, and they said a recent study has shown that 6% of the population have experienced narcissistic personality disorder at some point in their lives. But many more experience non-clinical symptoms, meaning they have symptoms, but they don't get no help. They don't feel that they need any help. My mother used to say, and my grandmother used to say, when in Rome, do as the Romans. You can tell them what to do in their house. We got that. So I tried to leave as fast and soon as I possibly could. Now, some of these signs that I'm going to tell you guys and share with you guys are what you call hallmark signs that you might have been raised by a narcissist, and you got to learn some of the damaging lessons from it. But one of the things that this article indicates that they want to share is that your well-being is very important. How you view the world. I heard Kenny Jake say, what happened to you is not your fault, but it is your responsibility. Meaning, if you know that you are taking this out on others, if you know that it's impacting your relationships with other people, even though you cannot change your parents, you can work on some of these behaviors that you see within yourself. So this is not to blame individuals or start hating individuals or talking about how you dislike your parents. It's not about that. Because at some point in time, people do their best. They do their best with what they have, and they do their best with what they know. Now, with that being said, healing is possible. It's very possible, but you got to want it, and you have to do the work. So, again, we're not blaming. We are basically shedding light on this critical incident or this critical problem so that individuals don't have to suffer or individuals don't have to feel as if it's their fault. They don't have to blame themselves, nor do they have to continue the cycle and do the same thing to their children. Now, what I'm looking at, it talks about there are the 9 traits of narcissism. And this is what they say. The personality disorder, 1, has a grandiose sense of self-importance, meaning that they exaggerate their achievement and their talent, expects to be recognized as superior without doing the work. So if you have a parent that they see that the neighbor got a Jag, or they'll say, well, I don't have a Jag. I got a Maserati, or da-da-da-da-da. They will overinflate their ego because they have what you call a grandiose sense of self-importance. The second one, occupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, and ideal love. The third one, they believe that they are special and unique and can only be understood or should be associated with special high-status individuals or institutions. Now, I can't say my mama did all that because I don't know. Sometimes she acts like she didn't like nobody. But if she liked you, she was cool with you, but that didn't mean you to get cussed out, talked about, and everything else. But I can only speak for what I experienced and my perception. That was what I saw growing up. Now, the fourth one, they require excessive admiration, meaning they want the whole world to evolve around them. They have a sense of entitlement, unreasonable expectations of especially favorable treatment or automatic compliance with his or her expectations. The sixth one, they can be, narcissist peeps never think they are wrong or they feel that they are beloved, intellect of others. Yeah, that's true. That is so, so true. They don't ever want to admit that they're wrong. Now, also, and like I said, is interpersonally exposed to take advantage of others' achievements of his or her own end. They lack empathy, is unwilling to recognize or identify the feelings and needs of others, is often envious of others or believe that others are envious of them. That's a big one, too, because they believe that other people are jealous of them. They have a sense of entitlement. They show arrogance, haughty behaviors or attitudes. And these are just some of the nine things that they say that are characteristics of a narcissist. Now, I know as a therapist, one of the hardest individuals to deal with, that I can work with myself, three really, is borderline personality disorder. Because borderline, they see things either black and white. There's no compromise. There's no room for negotiation. Either I love you or I hate you. And you're not going to change their mind. And sometimes individuals will get a person confused with the behaviors of a borderline personality along with a narcissist, or say that the person is narcissistic. So there is a difference. The other one that's very difficult to work with besides being borderline is a narcissist. But I enjoy working with narcissistic clients because I will meet them where they are to try to help them see where their behavior may be impacting other individuals. And I don't challenge them by saying what they say, you ain't all that. That don't work with a narcissist because they go show you some kind of way. They go want the one-up. So the borderline personality disorder, working with a narcissist, or working with someone that is really, really dealing with depression. And when I say depression, I mean suicidal ideation. That's not my forte. Now, I will refer you to someone that may specialize in those areas. I would rather work with an individual that is dealing with homicidal ideation or someone that's schizophrenic versus severe depression, the suicidal ideations, narcissists, are dealing with a borderline personality disorder. But there are a lot of therapists out there that do that type of work, that provide family counseling services. So again, if you can't help and save your parents, but you can do the work to help yourself. Now, as I look at this article and it says in regards to why do we say narcissist? Another experience of narcissism that individuals have learned throughout their life is that they couldn't speak up for themselves or they didn't agree with that person. Meaning there's a lot of things that happen in a child's life if they are raised by individuals with certain personalities. I indicated that the living with a person that may have addiction, dealing with someone that may have mental health issues, dealing with someone that may, like I said, not only mental health, but there are certain things and it does have an impact on the child. Now, as I look at this article, and one of the things that this therapist indicated that what they've seen in their therapy work and coaching is that adult children of narcissists often feel, in most cases, that they're never good enough or they are valuable enough. So when you are dating someone and they were raised by a narcissistic parent, they struggle with self-doubt, self-esteem, feeling validated, feeling important. They feel like they're not good enough because these are some of the things that they were told. In some cases, they can be deeply afraid to speak up confidently or challenge others because they may have feared their parent or feel the wrath of their parents or may have been verbally abused by their parent or manipulated by their parents. And these are just some of the things that happen. So because of that, they may feel deeply afraid to speak up confidently or challenge others. And in some cases, they will exhibit the same type of behavior that was done to them. Now, they also can be very attuned to any utmost canny degree, meaning to what everyone around them is feeling, because they have what's called a hypersensitivity to what others are experiencing. Sometimes they can be what you call it an empath, meaning the adult child can. And with that, being hypersensitive to what others are experiencing, they've had to live in disorder to survive being raised by a narcissist. And this can lead to the inability to protect themselves from other emotions. So therefore, the adult child may struggle with their emotions because at some point in time in their life, they didn't feel as if they were supposed to have these things. Another thing is they could become chronically unsure of themselves and overly worried about what others think of them. So they will go and seek approval from other individuals because they can be very concerned about what others think and say about them. There can be a deep insecurity because they never experienced unconditional love. And any love or care that was given was done so under certain challenging conditions that make them feel inauthentic and fake. And that word be coming up a lot, people being fake. By what I just read here, just deeply insecurity, when individuals are insecure and have self-doubt and don't feel as if they're good enough, when they're dating another person, sometimes these things get projected to the other person that they may encounter, and they don't realize that a lot of that came from the way that they were parented and who they were raised by. Now, another thing is that the relationship they're formed, either at work or in personal life, are deeply challenging and unsatisfying and even toxic and frightening. Yesterday, I did a show about toxic attachment, and we talked about how sometimes being attached to someone that's toxic, sometimes we have to identify these signs and we have to know how to let them go, or we have to move on before we become toxic or it poisons us. Another thing is when we start talking about frightening is the individual may have what's called insecure attachments, meaning they have difficulties into individuals. They may have avoidant personality types. There's a lot of different things that may occur, and they may not even know where that came from. Again, you don't want to blame the parent, but if you see that this is impacting you, affecting how you interact with other people, go talk to somebody. Another thing is when they step back and look at these relationships honestly, they see narcissism all around them, and they have no idea what to do. So we got a caller calling in. I think this is Mr. Ed. Uh-oh. I don't know why this thing don't work.
Hello.
Okay. Ed, is that you?
Oh, for a second, I thought you were going to keep me locked out the door.
No, I need some help. I really need some help. Okay. Another thing is finally, the individual can feel used and beaten up by their work, by their bosses, their colleagues, and they can't understand why their careers are so challenging and difficult. So what happens is most individuals or some individuals that have been raised by a narcissist may take on the victim mentality and feel that everybody is against them. And John Reed, I see you out there watching. You could call in if you want to talk about this. So they take the victim mentality. Mr. Ed, what is your take on that? Because a lot of times I've heard people say, if you want to know what your future wife is going to be like, look at their mama. There's some truth in that. Now, it doesn't mean that they, if they had an unhealthy parent, that they cannot go and do the work or try to be different or work on some of the things that they may have experienced in their childhood, but it is a blueprint. And you don't want to judge a person, but often, Mr. Ed, I've seen that people have ignored the red flags. They've ignored, or they'll say, you just like your mama. But they'll only bring that up when they get mad. What's your take on that? Whether you were raised or
I see there's a lot of truth in that. I've seen that there's a lot of truth in that because with me being, you know, someone who was married myself, I mean, I heard that thing myself, and I actually found that to be true, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And with all my wives, I mean, I've seen that, you know, their mother, you know, they ended up growing into their mother as they got older, you know. And
uh-huh.
So I'm thinking, you know, if I only would have, you know, listened to people back then before I got with her, I wouldn't end up with her mother today. You know, kind of thing. Yeah. And even though, now, don't get me wrong, doesn't mean that the mother was necessarily a bad person or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they probably had a lot of characteristics that were not, you know,
mm-hmm.
favorable. And things of that nature. So that's for my first, second, and third wife. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, especially my third wife. She really, I think the difference between her and her mother, though, what I believe she was more narcissistic than her mother because she was raised, you know, she was a spoiled brat, basically, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, she had her mother and father in the home, you know, they owned their home, everything was fine, but she was that poor little rich girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she pretty much had everything and anything. But in her mind, she didn't have nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even her own relatives didn't like her because she had more than everybody else, you know, in her family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so she grew up with that mentality. When I met her, I had no idea that she grew up in South Central. I thought she grew up in the Valley or somewhere because that's just the way she carried herself, you know. But come to find out, she was an undercover hood rat, you know.
Okay, but here's the thing, though, Mr. Ed. All individuals raised in L.A. are not hood rats. All individuals
No, I didn't
that are
say
raised...
that. I didn't say that. I said she was an undercover hood rat. I didn't say all. Oh, I never said that.
Got you. And see, what happens is people don't realize what be going on in people's homes and their houses. I remember as a kid, people told me, I feel sorry for you, Jeanette. I just feel sorry. But my mother was a cold piece of work. But she was one that she was a protector. But I would watch some of the things that she would do, and I would be like, mm-mm, I ain't doing that. Mm-mm, that's going to get you killed. Nope, not playing with that man like that. So a lot of things that I saw her do, I understood later why she did what she did. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong because I cannot judge. But what I'm saying is that what that is, I had never heard of the term narcissist until later on in my private practice of being a therapist. Never heard of it. And I have individuals coming to me now that will say, I'm married to a narcissist or I'm dating a narcissistic woman. So then my question would be, and I don't want to compare or contrast, but what can be the most challenging, having a narcissistic mother or having a narcissistic father? Because
well, you know,
mm-hmm.
go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you told me to go ahead. Because is it because that women are supposed to be nurturing, that that they are not to be selfish and self-centered because they're givers? So do it look different having a narcissistic mom versus a narcissistic dad? What is your take on that?
Well, first of all, you got to understand the differences of a narcissistic person and
mm-hmm.
and a person that's just self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. Okay, you have some people that are self-sufficient, self-reliant, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you know they're they're no BS type people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily mean that they're narcissists.
Right.
See, and as far as what you were saying about you didn't learn about them until you later in life, I pretty much learned about narcissists as a kid. Because there was a movie I watched, that came out, I think, back in the 60s or something. And it was a movie called The Picture of Dorian Gray.
Okay. Oh,
you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm. Never heard of it.
You know, it's called The Picture of Dorian Gray. Dorian Gray was a typical, stereotypical type of a narcissist.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so he ended up being cursed, you know, by having this picture. Okay. And he pretty much had to stay, you know, right, because if he didn't, in other words, the picture got old, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then when something happened to the picture, his age, you know, reflected the picture, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was obsessed with protecting this picture. But like I said, I don't want to spoil the movie, so you can look it up, you know, Google it.
It's
also a book, you know. But the point is that I was introduced to narcissism. That's my early teens when I first heard about that. I saw the movie when I was like 13, 14. And I was very familiar with that. And then after that, I saw a lot of movies. I learned what narcissism was, you know, at an early age. So I'm very familiar with narcissism. Now, I didn't have narcissistic parents. I really didn't. You know, my dad was a boxer, and my mom was who she was, but neither one of them were really narcissistic.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was like she was a cross between Florida Evan from Good Times and Madea.
Oh, wow. Okay. and
one
day
she's Florida, next day she's Madea, that kind of thing, you know. But the point is that's who I. But she was not narcissistic, you know. But I have seen narcissism. I know I've known people like that. You know, I've had some like that in my family. And I've known a lot of them like that. As far as a person having to grow up with a narcissist, I can imagine that would be kind of trying. Because for instance, one of my wives was like that. And I have heard, you know, that it was very trying coming up under her by her kids, okay? And, you know, I had nothing to do with that. That was before I came along. But the point is, you know, and then learning how she was, I could understand. I would hate having a mother like my ex-wife.
Man.
Because she was
but you married her and you had children by her, and a lot of times men don't know how to go about protecting their children. Hey, Tyrell, how you doing? Now, I'm looking at something, and it talks about how do narcissist parents treat their children. I'm listening to what's going on in my house right now, and I want to just scream because I need this out of my house. I'm trying to do a show. I'm listening to people argue, fuzz, door. I'm like, really? 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 And I'm doing my best to be calm, cool, and collected. They know I do a show at 6 o'clock at night. Everybody was supposed to be gone by March the 1st. I wasn't playing. But people don't want to take. So sometimes you got to act like you're narcissist in order for people to understand. I say what I mean what I say. Now, a narcissist.
Well, sometimes you just got to act a fool.
Fool, you know what? I'm going to tell you this. I do my best to try to stay calm because I don't want to go there. Because if I go there, like they say, when you wake up the beast, sometimes you can't put it back to sleep. So in L.A., in South Central, in Compton, I've been in Oceanside longer than I've been in Compton. But by that same token, sometimes you got to act like you're crazy to get your point across. Now, a narcissist.
Oh, yeah, you got to do that sometimes.
Well, you know what? I keep saying look. That's when I get that. You know what I mean? Look, I'm not playing. I'm gonna keep my calm. I'm gonna keep my because I said what I had to say. I'm not gonna keep repeating myself. That I'm not gonna do. I got some stuff. I got some business I got to take care of. I'm going to take care of the business I got to take care of. But a narcissist parent will often abuse the normal parental roles by guiding their children and being primarily decision makers in the child's life, becoming overly possessive and controlling. Now, when you think about a parent being overly possessive and controlling, it's the control part that becomes an issue when we're talking about a narcissistic parent, is because they don't allow you to grow. They don't allow you to have a say, and they hinder your autonomy because it's more about them than it is about you. Now, when we talk about in regards to how do you not only deal, it says there were three types of narcissistic mothers. They said that the six faces of the maternal narcissism are identified as flamboyant. Now, my mother was very flamboyant. Extrovert, the account-oriented, the psychosomatic, the addicted, the secretively mean, and the emotionally needy. Now, I don't know, Mr. Ed, if I could have survived an emotionally needy parent. Because that emotionally needy parent could be very draining, and they try to find satisfaction in you making them happy. Now, the secretly mean, if you mean, you mean. People used to call my mother Mean Jean. So as I'm looking at this, I'm like, ooh, really? You know, because like I said, I didn't know nothing much about narcissism. Now, a parent can be a mixture of these types, and that can also be what we call the case. Now, I'm looking at something, and it says, do a narcissistic mother cry? Like anyone else, but with narcissistic personality disorder, still experience emotions, and they can still cry. However, their experiences are much more likely to be self-serving and less likely to be rooted in empathy. So they're trying to be more manipulative. For example, while a narcissist could easily use tears as a way to manipulate others, they may cry for reasons other than this. That's what I grew up seeing. My mother would cry wolf. My mother was a type, she would take us shopping and then take us around to our dad or whatever and make it seem like we needed stuff that she already had in the trunk of the car. But what she was doing was hustling and trying to get her money back. And I thought that was just so wrong, so wrong. So I guess that's why when I had kids, I really wasn't going after their daddy for child support. I wasn't I didn't want to do that. I did not want to do that. Because why you go out and go grocery shopping, buy us school clothes, and then make us go tell our daddy, daddy, we need some school clothes. Daddy, that ain't cool. That's not cool. So that cry for help, being manipulative. What's your take on that, Mr. Ed?
Well, I agree. That's not a cool thing. That's not a cool trait at all. In fact, that's a big, bad character flaw in general.
It is. And it's a part
of... But one thing I could point you to, so you have a good example. So another reason I was introduced to narcissism as a youngster, because me and my dad used to have conversations, and he used to tell me, mm-hmm. "Oh, yeah, that's a narcissistic person." You know, what's narcissistic mean? Mm-hmm. He would explain it, you know. And like I said, mm-hmm. I was a youngster, so we would be watching Lost in Space. Did you ever watch that show?
I remember that show. I remember Lost in Space. I would rather
remember
watch
Dr. Smith.
I wasn't a Star Wars person, a Trekkie, and I never understood the concept of Star Wars and all that, but I watched Lost in Space.
No, I didn't say Star Wars. I said Lost in Space. That came out in the 60s?
No, Lost in Space is the name of a movie. Yes, I remember that show.
Well, no, it was a TV show. It wasn't a movie.
I just said
I
remember.
Movie later on. But anyway, I was talking about the show. So do you remember Dr. Smith?
I don't remember the names of the actors or their acting it, but I do remember the show. Yes.
Okay. Well, the character Dr. Zachary Smith, he was the stowaway on the ship. He was the one that caused them the havoc and made them get lost in the first place, and mm-hmm. and that was basically the plot of the whole series. But mm-hmm. You know, he was very He's a perfect example of a narcissistic person, somebody who thinks they're smarter than everybody else, but he ends up, turns out to be the dumbest. he was the one that was always getting them in trouble. He was the one that was always causing havoc. He was the one that was always causing them to miss ways for them going, or cause them to, you know, have mistakes. If you just watch him, like, you'll see what I'm talking about. But he, but in his mind, he was smarter than everybody on the ship.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a perfect example of a narcissistic characteristic. I mean, a personality.
Okay. One of the things I'm looking at, it says, how do you know if you were raised by a narcissistic mother? One of them is extreme criticism. Daughters of narcissistic parents, particularly narcissistic mothers, often experience extreme self-criticism, which is projected onto themselves and those around them. And this can contribute to feelings of inadequacy and a constant need for perfection. I can say I saw that growing up, but we didn't think that my mother dealt with narcissism. I thought she was manic depressive, but I didn't think of narcissism. Now,
that is one of the traits of a narcissist, someone who always puts down other people or criticizes everything that you do. In other words, you're never right. Even when you are right, you're wrong. You know, that's a narcissistic mentality. You know,
and that was one of the things I saw, but I didn't pay it any attention growing up. Another thing it talks about is, what are the 10 symptoms of daughters of narcissistic mothers? A mother who is self-obsessed or needs constant attention may describe as narcissistic or narcissistic mother are actually mothers who display traits or have been diagnosed with what is called the narcissistic personality disorder. And being the daughter of a narcissistic mother can have long-term effects on your attachment style, self-esteem, and mental health, and more. If you think your mother may be a narcissist or you was raised by a mother diagnosed with NPD, you may experience some of the common outline below. And the effects of being raised by a narcissistic mother can vary from person to person. And the 10 common symptoms of daughters of narcissistic mother: one, narcissist, the extreme criticism, meaning sometimes they feel like they're not good enough. They're constantly put down, you know. I remember I was a straight-A student. I couldn't make a B. My mother, and it made me now as an adult, I don't want to read. I don't want to do this. I just be rebelling because I had to be a straight-A student. My mother would not settle for second place. If you brought a second-place trophy home, don't bring it in our house. It had to be first place. So I never been one to strive for perfection. So I would tell my kids when they were growing up, if you did your best, that's good enough for me. That's why when we were talking the other day, talking about our book, the book you were talking about, and I was talking about my stage present when I do my speaking engagement, and I said, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I'm good enough. And that's huge, because people need to understand and people need to know we all can do better, but it doesn't mean we have to deal with extreme criticism or carry that into our relationship with others. Another one of a daughter being raised by a narcissistic mother is the lack of empathy. Daughters of narcissistic mothers often find themselves trapped in a dynamic where their parents consistently lack empathy towards them, causing their own needs and feelings to be routinely disregarded and invalidated in favor of the mother's self-centered focus. This lack of empathy can leave daughters feeling unseen, unheard, and emotionally neglected, impacting their sense of self-worth and ability to form healthy relationships in the future. And that is huge because they lack the empathy. There's a difference between empathy and sympathy. Empathy is having an understanding of what it's like to be in somebody else's shoes. Sympathy is like offering your condolences. So these are some of the things that happen with a young lady who may have been raised with a narcissistic mother. They lack empathy. So, Mr. Ed, you were saying something about your kids. Did you feel that your children being exposed to what they was exposed to may have lacked empathy because of their childhood?
No, you misunderstood me. I wasn't talking about my children. I was talking about the children of one of my wives. And it wasn't my children. They were already there when I got there.
They weren't my kids.
They were already there when you got there. So from what
in other words, this particular wife, her kids were already grown when I got with her. Okay. But I knew them, we had conversations and all that kind of stuff.
My question is, with your blended family and...
No, what's a blended family? A blended family is when you come in with kids. That's a blended family. That wasn't a blended family. We got married when her kids was already grown. Both of our kids were grown when we got together. So it wasn't blended. A blended family is when you come in with your own kids, with somebody else's kids. That's a blended family.
Okay. All right, so I don't want to get into a spit set of the dynamics of the family system. My question was, if you know her kids and you said that this young lady may have had symptoms, because I'm not accusing anybody of having symptoms, with the adult children, did you see if the adult children of her or any other person that you may have seen that was raised by a narcissistic mother lack empathy? Because I'm looking at an article, and one of the things it says is daughters of narcissistic mothers often find themselves trapped in a dynamic where their parents consistently lack empathy towards them, causing their own needs and feelings to be routinely disregarded and invalid. And so what happens is leave the daughter feeling a certain way, and sometimes they may have that with others. I've been accused of having a lack of empathy. Some people feel I don't have emotions. Not that I don't have emotions, I don't teeter, I don't feed off of my emotions, because a feeling is not a fact. My emotions, I will acknowledge how I feel, but I'm not going to just blame it on somebody else because of other things. Now, I can say that I've seen individuals become empaths. I've seen some individuals that feel like, my mother felt like my mama didn't care about me, so why should I care about other people? So when we talk about the lack of empathy. Now, another thing is the verbal aggression. Daughters of narcissistic mothers often endure painful experiences of verbal aggression as their mother frequently deploy demeaning language and hurl insults towards them. Yeah, let's put it like that. This constant barrage of hateful words can profoundly impact the daughter's self-esteem and mental well-being, leading to feelings of insecurity, self-doubt, and emotional turmoil. It is very crucial for these daughters to recognize that they deserve respect and support and seek healing through therapy to build strong support network. So one of the things that I'm gathering from this information is the individual daughter, because of the way they were raised and the things that they've seen, it's like witnessing domestic violence. Meaning if they saw that their mother was verbally abusive, they can turn out to be verbally abusive and engage in verbal aggression against other people. My sisters are verbally aggressive. I ain't got time to argue. I really don't. So these are just some of the things that they say can be a trait of a daughter. And I'm wondering what a trait of a son would be who was raised by a mother or raised by a father. Like I said, there's a guy I really wish he would call in, and he would talk about his wife being narcissistic and how she would, there was a lot of parent alienation in his home where she would turn one child against parent because of her neediness and attention seeking. She tried to get her emotional stuff from her children and isolated her husband. And the kids, even though she has sons, are verbally aggressive towards others. So it could be. Another one is the insecure attachment style. Growing up with a narcissistic parent, particularly a mother, can often result in the development of an insecure attachment style, and this is largely attributed to inconsistent or neglectful parenting practices, leading to difficulties in forming healthy and secure relationships later in life. Christine Grant, I see you out there. You can call in. You can give me a call. 516-37-1914. Another one is low self-esteem. Daughters of narcissistic mothers often struggle with low self-esteem and have a negative self-image. This negative self-image can manifest in various ways, such as feeling unworthy, inadequate, constantly seeking validation from others, are being overly critical of oneself, and it can significantly impact their overall sense of self-worth and hinder their ability to pursue goals and dreams confidently. Sometimes what I'm getting from this is sometimes people will break you down, and they think that breaking you down will build you up. That don't work for everybody. So what happens is these children growing up in these homes and they're constantly ridiculed and beat up and beat down will start exhibiting symptoms of a low self-esteem. Hello, you know I know this number. How are you doing? Number ending in 4022.
Oh, I'm doing good. I was looking for the link while I was on the Facebook for it, and I didn't realize on 6 o'clock, so then I just heard you mention my name, and I went, so I'll just go find the number on my phone.
No problem. Now, when we talk about being raised by narcissists, and, you know, like I said, we can't pick and choose our parents. We really can't. But part of the way we were raised can have an impact on the way we view ourselves, we view the world, and we also treat other people. Now, the next one that I'm looking at besides the low self-esteem is the lack of boundaries. Daughters of narcissistic mothers often face significant challenges in establishing and maintaining healthy boundaries due to their parents' difficulty in respecting their boundaries. The blurred line between personal space and autonomy can cause immense distress and confusion for daughters, making it difficult for them to develop a strong sense of self and navigate healthy relationships. It is crucial for these daughters to prioritize self-care, seek therapy if needed, and learn strategies for letting and enforcing boundaries and regain control of their lives and well-being. I didn't do that with my mother. I did not let my mother control my life. She wasn't going to do it. She would get mad at me and call me her most difficult, challenging child, but I wasn't having it. What is your take on that in regard to the lack of boundaries that some individuals may have due to having a narcissistic mother?
The lack of boundaries is going to cause the problem for the child as they get older. And then you're just going to have behavior issues. At least that's what I saw from the kids that I took care of. And, you know, they can go from minimal to very extreme, which you know that because, you know, I went through that with a couple of my kids that I took care of out of the system who had parents who that were narcissistic and they were very, you know, into themselves and it was all about them instead of their kids.
Okay. The next one it talks about is codependency. Daughters of narcissistic mother may develop codependency patterns in their relationship, seeking validation and approval for others. And this codependency can stem from the deep-rooted belief that their worthlessness and values as individuals are dependent on the opinions and actions of others. They may find themselves constantly sacrificing their own needs and desires in order to please others, often at the expense of their well-being. And breaking free from these codependent patterns requires self-reflection, setting boundaries, and cultivating a stronger sense of self-worth independent of external validation. You know, I guess that's why I was the way that I was later on in life. That I don't need nobody's validation. I don't need you to tell me I do the best I can. If you don't like it, oh well. I ain't gonna drive myself crazy over trying to make other people happy that ain't happy. And sometimes what happens is an individual that has dealt or lived with a narcissistic parent will normally date men or men will date women. It's like what they saw. It's a cycle. It is a cycle. So with the codependency, I'm looking at a book written by Joyce Myers, and it talks about approval addiction. There are some individuals out there that try their best to seek the approval of others. If they don't give it to you, then what? Some people will say, oh, I'm trying to get some feedback. I don't need you to give me no feedback on certain things. If you want to tell me, give me a compliment, or even if you want to insult me and tell me what I did, what not. Okay, thank you. It's your opinion. What is your take on that in regards to the codependency where individuals become very approval-seeking because of the way they were raised? They don't feel as if they did the right thing, so now they got a spouse, or now they're dating, and they're constantly seeking this approval from someone else.
Well, I actually have a girl that I know who her therapist told her that she's codependent, and she didn't think she was. And I told her, your therapist is right. And so she, then she looked at things, and in fact, I even mentioned, you know, if she wanted to go to a new therapist because she's married to somebody who is a narcissistic. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is too much. I said, if he really thinks that your therapist isn't helping you, I got the perfect woman for you, okay? And I'm going to give you her name and number.
What?
And so then she said, she thought about it, and, you know, she really never thought she was codependent. I mean, but she likes the fact that I'm open and honest with her. And it's hard because, you know, the kids, like her teenage daughter now has become like, you know, it's all about, everything's about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, you got a narcissistic dad and you're codependent and you're wanting to make him all happy. Okay. And I'm like, do you really think this is going to turn out good? This is not going to turn out good. And you know, she's saying that she's like, now she's realizing it. So she's trying to set boundaries, but she's having a little bit of a difficult time with it until, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, she is, I guess, the, you know, like the husband said to her and her daughter said to her,
mm-hmm.
Mom, the therapist isn't helping you. You should find another therapist. And I said, and why isn't the therapist helping you? And she said, well, that's what he says and that's what my daughter says. I said, because you're not doing what they want. Okay, now you're doing the opposite. You're setting boundaries. I said, so this isn't a matter, you know, and he's a narcissistic. And I'm like, this is like a disaster here.
Well,
you know, and what happens with the kids, I think, is that now the teenager who's getting ready to go off to college, which, you know, she can't wait till she goes off to college. I said, I couldn't wait either if I had to deal with her. I mean, listening to her, you know, like we were going someplace. I'll give you an example. We were going someplace and the teenage daughter was sitting in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Husband was driving, and they have another David's daughter that's disabled that they also adopted, who's really disabled. And my girlfriend was sitting next to her, and then my daughter was sitting next to them, and then I was towards the back. Well, when they pulled up to come to my house, and then my girlfriend got out of the car, and she opened the car door to her teenage daughter and said, okay, why don't you, I don't want to say the name, so why don't you go ahead and get in the back with, like, me? And she said, oh, no, I'm fine, Mom.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what?
Are you serious? And then she let her speak to her that way. And I'm thinking, you wonder why. Okay.
Think of this. You gotta be very delicate with people's family dynamics because it's normal to them. My daughter brought to my attention that my son was narcissistic. Now, I see it, I get it. And his biggest issue with me is I don't cater to his nonsense, and I'm not. But I see the behavior, I've seen it, and I'm just glad that it wasn't imposed on my grandchildren. Now, Ryder's got some narcissism in him too. A lot of narcissism, a narcissistic behavior in him. Now, when we talk about the next one is the fear of abandonment. Due to the inconsistent parenting and emotional manipulation, daughters of narcissistic mothers may have fear of being abandoned or rejected. healing from this fear requires addressing the underlying wounds caused by their narcissistic upbringing and learning to trust and form healthy, secure attachment with others. So seeking therapy and support can be instrumental in navigating these overcoming challenges. But one of the things that I found is when you are working with individuals, one of the things that I do, even in therapy, is I'm very aware of people's defense mechanisms. I am when I'm talking to them. I do my best to get them to think, but not to tell them right from wrong or challenging them, because it is their experience. Their experience is their experiences, and you're not going to change that. But the only thing that I can do is to try to get them to think and maybe change the language or try to see things from a different perspective. And if what they're doing is working for them, do more of it. If it's not working for you and you see that it's causing you to feel lonely, unhappy, by yourself, change the script. Otherwise, you know me as a therapist. I'm firm, but I'm fair, and I'm no nonsense. Some people would say, oh, she's mean. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not mean at all. I just got a really good BS radar. I ain't dealing with it. I'm not dealing with it. I got too much to do. I ain't got to have it. But I understand their pain. Another one is the ninth one is people-pleasing behavior. Daughters of narcissistic parents, including narcissistic mothers, often engage in pleasing, people-pleasing behaviors to gain approval and avoid conflict. So what they'll do is they'll try to be nice. They'll go along to get along because they don't want conflict. And it's become so ingrained in their coping mechanism, causing them to constantly prioritize the needs and wants of others over their own, leading to a sense of self-neglect and an inability to assert their own boundaries and desires. And breaking free from this cycle involves learning to prioritize own needs and the needs of others. The next one, and I want you to elaborate on this a little bit. Individuals of narcissistic parents, especially daughters, have difficulties expressing emotions. Growing up with a narcissistic mother can result in difficulties expressing emotions and even identifying one's own feelings. This emotional repression, because you repress or you suppress your emotions, can stem from the fear of facing criticism or rejection for expressing emotions, leading to a disconnect from one's own emotional needs and an inability to effectively communicate or navigate relationships. Developing emotional awareness and seeking therapy can help an individual in regards to expressing their emotions in a healthy way. What is your take on that? Because when we start talking about even with a narcissistic mother-daughter relationship, you know, we haven't talked much about a narcissistic father, because what I've heard most people say in regards to narcissistic fathers is they experience a lot of abuse, whether it was verbal abuse, whether it was physical abuse, but there's a lot of abuse. What is your take on that, Ms. Christina?
You mean on the father or on the mother?
Just period, in regards to,
well,
we start talking about
the father,
expressing emotions.
He is abusive. He's narcissistic and he is abusive. And the mm-hmm. mother, I mean, she was brought up by a narcissistic mom. So it's like, mm-hmm. oh, this is like, no wonder. Then I think, I mean, even though I'm not the therapist, I said to her, you know, she said to me, I felt she felt comfortable talking to me, but I said, you should talk to your therapist about the same thing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's trying to figure out, like, how to explain in her, what her, how do I want to say it? Her husband says that she doesn't say it right.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't express herself right.
Mm-hmm.
And she is codependent. So, I mean, it's just, I think it's you know, it's not an easy situation, you know, because, you know, if you, especially if you have one that's one way and one that's the other way, then,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's going to be trouble. I mean,
mm-hmm.
now, as far as my kids go, I don't know. I'm pretty no-nonsense, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at myself as narcissistic. In fact, people say I'm too giving.
Mm-hmm.
And too giving. So, but, I mean, I don't know if that's a bad thing or not, but, you know, I mean, but as far as, you know, like being narcissistic and codependent, you want to know all around, I mean, it's just
one it's has a mixture to find the balance. They have to find the balance. And I know we ran out of time from the 7 o'clock, but I want to share,
right.
And it says, what does it mean to have a narcissistic mother? Even though we talked about in the show having being raised by a narcissist, but having a narcissistic mother means that your mother displays traits are been sometimes diagnosed, sometimes not always. A narcissistic mother prioritizes their needs and creates admiration, often lacking empathy for their children, including their daughters, and they may use manipulation and control tactics. So just think about, are you being manipulated or are you being controlled by your parents even as an adult? Is your parent trying to get their emotional needs met by you as a child or a teenager? Now, these tactics can include gaslighting, guilt tripping, struggle to respect boundaries, and invading their children's privacy and autonomy. Me reading that, yeah, my mama did some of those things. I didn't know it was narcissistic behavior. Now, emotional abuse is prevalent in the household with a narcissistic mother. And narcissistic mothers may constantly criticize, belittle, and behave demeaningly towards their children, including their daughters. And this can damage the self-esteem and emotional well-being of the daughters of narcissistic mothers. Now, also, narcissistic mothers may depend on favoritism in a family with more than one child. They may establish favoritism, meaning they choose one child over the other. Or they become very messy.
Well, maybe I am narcissistic then, because that's what people say about me, that I chose one child over the other.
Yeah. And also, choosing one child as a golden child who receives favoritism and excessive praise, while the other is a scapegoat who is blamed for everything that goes wrong. And this dynamic negatively affects all children regardless of their role. Now, when we start talking about these things is, a lot of times parents or children will grow up and, you know, when you start talking about the guilt tripping, the manipulation, comparing your children, you know, I knew at a very young age that I could not help my mother. I couldn't. I tried my best. I did the best I could, but I wouldn't go change her. And I did not want to repeat a lot of the same patterns and behaviors, even with raising my children. But by that same token, we start talking about might having a narcissistic mother affect one's mental health. Growing up with a narcissistic parent can have profound implications on the child's mental well-being. The experience can often leave lasting emotional scars and trauma. The constant demand for attention, manipulation, and emotional neglect can lead to feelings of insecurities, anxiety, and diminished self-esteem. So individuals raised by narcissistic parents often grapple with questions of self-worth and identity and struggle to feel valued or significant. Boundaries are important.
Now, Casey, I have one daughter who's not like that, but she came to me at birth. The other ones were in that kind of a situation with narcissistic or codependent type parents. And they came to me at like 2 years old, or 15 months old. And so, because it can start from the very beginning, right? I mean, and then because I have two daughters that were like that. So then I thought it was me because, you know, I'm set my boundaries. They didn't like boundaries being set, you know, all that stuff. So, I mean, then it's like when you said, like, you know, about the one child, I came across an old recording that I videoed of the youngest one, which you know who the youngest one is, and saying to the other one that that you and telling me you don't love me, you know, you love her, you don't love me, and I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, she had a narcissist, and her mother was, her biological mother was that way, and so was her father. They were both, you know, it was all about them. So I never thought in a million years this little girl that came to me at 14 months would turn out the way she did, which you know how it happened and how it turned out. She became a very manipulative and very smart little girl. She could outsmart people that have degrees, you know, in accounting.
Well, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we're running out of time and I got to make return some phone calls too. A narcissistic parent, erratic and unpredictable. Remember, erratic and unpredictable parenting style can hinder emotional regulation, making it tough for their children to manage stress, express emotions, and develop healthy coping strategies, all the skills necessary for maintaining good mental health. Some children of narcissistic...
I have a question then. If the, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but if I have a question, if that's the case and they came to me, then because I felt like I became the terrible parent, but I don't think I was a terrible parent. I mean, I don't, I didn't, so that kind of stuff came because they were already older and when they came to me, they had that, they were used to that. So is that why it just manifested as they got older?
It can, but everybody is different. So, but it can have a difficulties with expressing emotions. But I believe that the young lady you talked about also had RAD, which is reactive attachment disorder, and no one wanted to address that. And when I would bring it up at CST meetings, they would get angry with me because they wanted to make you the problem. You targeted. And by you being targeted, then they came after because it was that they didn't want to deal with, because when we start talking about being abusive, we look at abuse as being physical, verbal, sexual, and emotional abuse is hard to prove in children. So when they become a ward of the court or they are placed in foster care, a lot of these kids are dealing with certain behavior problems because if they can't trust their parents, how can they trust you? Even if they are severely developmentally delayed, you can still have difficulties. Now, when we start talking about the having difficulty to develop healthy coping strategies, all the skills necessary for maintaining good mental health, some children of narcissistic parents might even unconsciously adapt certain narcissistic traits as survival mechanisms. A lot of kids in the foster care system have learned how to survive, further complicating their interactions with others. So seeking therapy and support from professionals well-versed in trauma. See, they train, even as a therapist, I've been a therapist for over 20 years. I've been doing this work. Now, I'm very well-trained. I'm very well-acclimated. I'm still learning some of these things. But even in school, they never really trained us about narcissism. Now, we learned about trauma, trauma-informed care, how to help with trauma. But with this type of work, you have to address the trauma and the narcissistic abuse. It's critical. So you can facilitate healing and address the mental health effects of their upbringing, of their trauma. So if you start, like I said, if you start talking about the trauma and they're telling you these stories and you be like, oh, that's not bad. Oh, just because your mama called you all these names doesn't mean it. But how does that impact you? You went from your mama calling you them names and you got a man calling you these names. You got your kids looking at you like you're crazy. You got your mama calling your house trying to manipulate your kids, turn your kids against you because now the mama is trying to make up for what she didn't do with your kids because now your mama is different from with your kids than she was with you, and you may still be holding on to the resentment and the experience that you've experienced dealing with this person. It's a cycle, okay? Now, I know we ran out of time. Christina, is there anything you want the listeners to know about being raised by a narcissist before we end the show? And this, it takes way longer than 30 than an hour to talk about this topic. It really is.
No, I understand. I think that it would be good to get some mental health therapy because you don't realize when you were raised by somebody that way that you actually might have some of those traits and you might then start a family if you're younger and put, you know, then it'll rub off into your kids because just like this couple I'm talking about, I mean, I think they were, you know, it and people don't realize it. They think, oh, you're a narc. People use that term really lightly sometimes, and I don't think they realize they are narcissistic. It's all about them, you know, mm-hmm. or they're codependent. And someone tells you you're codependent. No, I'm not. But you're codependent and you're trying to make everybody happy.
Got you. But, the thing is this, a lot of individuals think that codependent means that I'm dependent upon somebody else. They don't know what it means. They have no idea.
Yeah, and they have to look. They should go look it up or talk to somebody and find out if someone. I mean, if somebody would go to like you or some other therapist and they say, you know, this is what's going on, the therapist will be able to say you're codependent, right?
Well, here it is. We can, Christina, but the problem is this: a lot of people already know the symptoms, but they really don't want to do nothing about it. So sometimes, they will discontinue services because they don't want to be challenged. It's painful. They can hide behind. It's like understanding. I'm good with defense mechanisms. I know it when I hear it. I know love languages. I don't know everything about people because people can be a chameleon, and sometimes they can try to come off a certain way to try to throw you off, and I get that too because I hear what people say. But by that same token, it's too sensitive. But when you talk about them taking that behavior and raising their children, before they even raise the children, they're taking that behavior into a relationship with somebody else. At this point in my life, I ain't dealing with that. That's too much. So if you're dealing with somebody with a low self-esteem, I can't increase your self-esteem. If you self-doubt yourself, I can't do nothing with that. I'm not going to even entertain it now. It's too much. I don't want to raise a person. I can't raise an adult. But you can have these, you can have these conversations without being judgmental because nobody's perfect. Nobody is perfect.
No, when I explained that to this girl, and then she's still doing her therapy, even though he told her she should quit. But she is having a hard time with it.
Well,
and
here it is.
That's why I said, why don't you do this? Why don't you go see another therapist and see what they say?
Here it is, Christina. They're still trying to manipulate her because she's not doing what they want her to do. So apparently she's changing and they don't like it because they're not getting their way.
No, she is changing and they don't like it. But it's also inside, it's making her sick a little bit because she's making herself sick over it. She's trying to do what the right thing is, but she's, and it'll make herself sick sometimes.
I watch a lot of television shows now, and a lot of these shows are taking away the stigma and the taboo of therapy. You don't have to have a problem to go see a therapist. It's just somebody to talk, somebody to help you process some things. I remember when I used to talk to my sister from another mother, and she would tell me, Jeanette, you a hot mess. I didn't know what she was talking about until I started looking at stuff, and I said, dang, I am a hot mess. I just make fun out of it. I don't take it personal. I mean, like, even with my friends, you know, and I've had people that work with me, and they will try to challenge me on my intellect. Or they would try to make it seem like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't care. If that makes you feel good, do it. Because you ain't gonna break my self-esteem. That cannot go do it.
Right.
And I know when I'm hearing it. I know when I'm seeing it. And even when I'm in a relationship with someone, sometimes people will challenge you on these things. And it's not my stuff, it's theirs. So some things I really don't care about. It will make me no difference. But
said to her. I said, and she said, well, the therapist has been telling me, I guess her husband said, he's not telling you what to do. I said, the therapist isn't going to tell you what you need to do. She's going to offer you stuff, and she's going to talk to you. She's already planted in your head. Now you have to figure out what to do. She's not there to come into your house and tell you do this, do that, do this, do that. You got to work on yourself to do take care. And so I can see that. And in fact, the other day when she called and she said, I said, how are you? She said, oh, I'm a hot mess. I said, okay, well, is that your saying or is that your husband's saying? She goes, both. And I go, well, good, be a hot mess for yourself, but don't be a hot mess for him.
You know, there's two things that I can do. Two things. I can make you think, and I can make you laugh.
Right.
But I'm not going to tell you
right.
what to do.
That's exactly what I – so when I asked her if her therapist does that, and she said, yes, I go, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with her, but if you'd like to go talk to my friend, she'll tell you the same thing, I think.
Okay, so we're going to end the show because I got to make some phone calls because I don't want to be making these phone calls too late. And
okay,
and like
so
are
you on 6 o'clock on Tuesdays normally?
Yep, yes, whenever
okay.
I feel good.
Because I know you changed it. I can't get on to the 2 o'clock one usually, so I didn't realize it was on 6 o'clock. So now I'll try to put it on my calendar so I can – not always do I have peace and quiet, but my other one got in trouble, so.
Oh, wow. We'll talk about that another time.
I know. She's quiet now. When I went onto the Facebook and I saw that, is she live now? Okay. And then you said my name. I was like, oh, she must be live.
Monday the 2, Tuesday the 6. So anything you want the listeners to know before we end the show today about being raised by a narcissist?
Just go and get some mental health work and make sure you work on yourself and don't, you know, if you're struggling with things that, you know, that you can't figure out what to do, then maybe you should just go talk to somebody so you can get somebody else's opinion and, you know, find a better way to deal with things so that you don't end up bringing your kids up that way or, you know, causing problems for yourself.
You're right. Okay. Sounds good. Mr. Id, any comment, anything you want to leave the listeners with in regards to being raised by a narcissist?
Oh, you still remember me?
Come on, Mr. Id. Right now. Anything you want to leave the listeners with before we leave?
I thought that you had forgot that I was on the thing. I was just, you know, I'm like, oh, she's still remembering me. Oh, okay. Well, all I can really say on that is, y'all covered a lot of space there.
Okay.
In general, I think that, as far as a person that's raised by a narcissistic person, you know, they, from what I understand, that everybody that are, you know, you can have, say for instance, you have 3 kids that are raised by a narcissistic person, and you'll have 3 different types of people because everybody sees it from a different perspective. So just because, you know, a person was a certain way to raise them doesn't mean they're all going to emulate that person, okay? They can turn out totally different, totally opposite, or they could turn out just alike.
Mm-hmm.
So it pretty much depends on the person because, as I've said before, as you heard me say this before, we are formulaic beings. And we also, mm-hmm. you know, what I mean by that, that's what makes us unique
mm-hmm.
because we absorb everything that we experience, but right. we also already have ingredients within us. And when you mix that with the experiences and environments and what have you, then you become who you are as a
right.
result.
You can't that's of your environment. And the thing is, it goes back again, like I said earlier, we cannot pick and choose our parents, but we can pick and choose how we respond and react to things. I got to go handle what's going on in my house because I don't like it. I have to go set some very firm boundaries because I am fed up right about now. So, again, I want to thank you for joining the show tonight as we talked about being raised by a narcissist. The narcissist is not going to want to identify as a narcissist because we don't want to put a label on someone. And if you're dating someone that you see certain character traits that you do not agree with, or that is not going to help you build and grow in your life, leave it alone. Don't have no kids, file, because then you got this bond, okay? So, and if you are a narcissist parent and you want to get some help because you see where you're causing hurt, harm, and damage to your child, as well as you feel that your needs are not being met because maybe you was raised by a narcissist parent, narcissistic parent, go talk to somebody. There's therapy, there's life coach, there's pastoral teachings or counseling. There is help available, but you got to want it. And when it gets to the point to where it becomes too sensitive, don't run away from the therapy. Don't do that. So, again, thank you for joining me. Don't know what I'm going to talk about next week. Until then, remember you got this. Thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.